Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 20. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them.
Back at the very beginning, when we were brought into existence, when God created man, we know from the scriptures that Adam was fashioned, he was made in the image of God, and Adam was made with the freedom to choose. Adam had that ability to follow the command that God gave or to forsake it. Either way, he was free to choose. And of course, that's a choice. That freedom is something that each and every one of us have. Every day that we live, choices are before us. The choice to follow the teaching of God through his word, or to choose to forsake it, leave it behind, instead do whatever gratifies or pleases ourselves. But from the very beginning, when we see mankind in the Garden of Eden, we see that sometimes the choice that is set before us is one that is, though maybe clear in terms of what we know to do, it may be difficult to choose to do what is right. Adam and Eve were fashioned, and they were given that command to not eat of the fruit of that one tree. And then, as we remember, Satan tempted Eve, and it says that when she saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Genesis 3, verse 6. So, here's this same situation that mankind finds himself in every day. Each of us have these choices to make: God's will or man's will, our own will. And as we study together from the scriptures tonight, we're going to go back and to look at a time in the history of God's people, as we read from the book of Deuteronomy, where God emphasizes the power of choice. God demonstrates that what we have the freedom to do and then make a decision in regard to has an impact. It has serious effects upon our future and what happens to us down the road, even what can happen to our children, to our grandchildren, based upon the choices that we make. And so as we begin, we're going to go back to the end of the book of Deuteronomy and start by looking at the command of Moses that is recorded for us here toward the end of this book. And then the second thing that we'll notice tonight is the command of Christ that was given to his disciples and the parallels that which was given by Moses. We'll look at these two things tonight in our study together. So going back to that period in the history of God's people before they crossed over the Jordan, before they went into the promised land. God's people were given His law so that they might be aware of what God wanted them to do, how they should live. And then so that they could be diligent to keep the law that God gave to them, to live by it. In Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 1 says, "Now Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, 'Keep all the commandments which I command you today.'" So here are the leaders of God's people. Not only Moses, but these other elders as well. They come before the people and they urge the people. They tell them what they must do. And that is everything that has been presented to you. You be faithful to keep these words. And as we'll see, there's all kinds of conditions tied to the keeping of them, but also the rejection of them. So then, here also in chapter 27, if you look down several verses, beginning with verse 10, it says this, "Then Moses and the priests, the Levites, spoke to all Israel, saying, 'Take heed and listen, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. Therefore you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe His commandments, His statutes, which I command you today.'" So this was a very significant pronouncement. He's saying to them, this is the day that you are recognized as being the people of God. And as this pronouncement is made, He urges them, He tells them, you have to be faithful to obey God and then observe these commandments, these statutes which He has given. So Moses, in all that he has written, the words that he recorded as God gave to him, record for the people of God their history, the beginning of humanity, and also then gave them their history as to where they came from, who their forefather was, how they came to be the people of God, how they were chosen, and then what transpired to bring them from the slavery that they were found in to the freedom that they're now about to enjoy as they prepare to go into the land. But it all hinges, their future hinges upon the choices that are set before for them at this very moment in time. He says, here's what you need to do. And so, in the verses that follow, in the chapter that follows, we see what God lays out before them. It has to do with blessings, and then the other side is curses. Blessings or curses? What do you want for your future? So great blessings are promised to the people for their faithful obedience to God. If you look at chapter 28, beginning in verse 1, the scriptures here record what Moses tells them about the blessings that will come upon them if they'll keep God's word. Notice, beginning in verse 1, Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. And then from verse 3 onward are all these wonderful pronouncements of things that will take place that God is promising will come to pass if they are faithful to Him. And so He says, "Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out." Throughout the following verses, God tells them about what will happen. He's promising them this kind of a future, He says, awaits you if you'll do what I say. But notice in those opening two verses, he states that word that is so powerful and important to notice, the word if. Blessings are conditional, just like they are today. When God promised His people certain things, there were requirements in order to receive those blessings. Going into the land as they would do in the future. Having victory over the nations that were greater than they were. Conditional. You go in and I'm going to give you Jericho, but here's what you must do. And they had to march as God instructed them around the city in the way that He prescribed. Then and only then did the walls fall and were they able to go in and possess. God's promises are conditional. And here they are told, if you what? If you diligently obey. This is not a half-hearted service to God, but this is wholeheartedly following Him, seeking out His will, striving to understand it, and walking faithfully every day according to the commands of God. If you diligently obey and you observe carefully all, there's a big word, all His commandments, which I command you today, then these things will take place, verse 2, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So, blessings will come because you show yourself to be obedient. But then, the flip side is also addressed by God. Terrible curses are pronounced upon Israel if they choose the path of disobedience. So again, the choice is before them. Obey, disobey. You choose. But here is the outcome. And then you look at, beginning in verse 15, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, he says, "But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out." And God continues to speak in verses 20 to following all the various things that will take place if they reject the commandments of God. And you go on and you read all of these things. These are very unpleasant to read. You read these if you're the children of Israel and you're looking at your future, and that would put fear into your heart to contemplate what God says He's going to make happen if you reject His word. But all of that, of course, was to try to instill within their hearts the seriousness of the choices that they make. All of this suffering, think about it, all of the suffering that you read about in the verses that follow relate to physical ailments, lack of food, various things that God would cause to happen to them. But all of that is affliction that comes to the body so that they would learn that if you choose disobedience, you're going to suffer. But He wanted them to learn the more important lesson, and that is, if we don't obey God, suffering is not just temporary. Suffering is not just on this earth. But suffering will be eternal if we don't learn the lesson that we must comply with the commands of God and always be faithful and obedient to Him. God then commanded these people to make a choice. And as we read at the beginning of this lesson, in chapter 30, in verses 11 and following, God commands His people, you must make a choice. You must make a choice. And here are these people that must, in fact, choose the good way. Throughout the history of God's people, there were various times when these kinds of opportunities were set before them. And We're told that Joshua, the great leader that followed Moses, urged the people of God to make a choice. He set before them, in a similar fashion, the need to make a decision that would enable them to be blessed by God in their future. Near the end of his life, Joshua reminded the children of Israel of their history, what God had done for them, the blessings that he had brought upon them, and he called upon them to choose. In Joshua 24, beginning in verse 14, he says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is He who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwell in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God." So the choice is presented, and the people cry out on that occasion, "Joshua, we're going to do like you have spoken. We also want to serve the Lord, because look at all that God has done for us." And so in the days of Joshua, in the days of the elders who lived also in that generation, the people faithfully served God. But the sad picture that we get in the Scriptures when we get into the beginning of the book of Judges is that the faithfulness, the determination to choose life, did not last for very long because they forgot God. Somewhere along the line, one generation forgot to really etch in right upon the hearts of the succeeding generation, the truth regarding God and the power of choice. They forgot God. They learned idolatry from the nations that surrounded them, in part because they did not obey the voice of the Lord their God to utterly destroy the peoples that inhabited that land, and therefore they reaped the consequences of their disobedience. As a result, we see a people who chose not life, but they chose the afflictions that they had been warned about far back in their history. How could anyone choose that kind of future? And yet that's exactly what they chose. And we see generation after generation, the cycle repeated throughout the book of Judges, of apostasy. The cry to God for deliverance. The judge raised up. The people delivered from the suffering, and then eventually, after a period of faithfulness, a return to that departure from God's will again and again. This cycle is seen, of course, throughout human history. We see people making the choice to either follow God or forsake Him. Tragically, as we reflect upon the words that God gave to Moses, we see in the history of the children of Israel, that constant choice to depart. But then, even after the children of Israel, because of their grievous continuation in that cycle, even after they had their kings that rose up and they again turned to idolatry, the 70 years of captivity that came to the southern kingdom of Judah at least taught them not to choose to follow idols. But we see subsequent to their return, and with the rebuilding of the walls and the rebuilding of the temple and the return to worshiping God, they did for a time worship God as prescribed in the Word. We see in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah that the people look to the Word. And what they strove to do was to do as it is written in the law. That was their intent and that was their practice for a while. But then when you begin to read some of the minor prophets who wrote during that period after they had returned, we see again problems developing. Not with idolatry, but with the choices that were made by God's people to forsake the specific ways in which God told them to worship Him. And in all those years that passed between the end of the law that was given by God to His people, to the ushering in of the kingdom, those 400 years, we know what developed, and we find it when we look to the pages of the New Testament and the Gospel accounts. The hearts of God's people, religious practice, had drifted far from what it was supposed to be. People had been making choices, and the choices were not right. But Jesus Christ came to call men back to the way that is right. And so, for the remainder of our time tonight, we look now from the command of Moses that he gave. Choose life, he said to them. To the command of Christ, as we read in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, in a very similar fashion, Jesus calls upon us to make the right choice. He says to His people today, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Two choices before us. The gate that is narrow or the gate that is broad. And the choice seems so clear. One leads to life. That's obvious. That's the one you take. The other one leads to death. Who would choose that one? But the reality is, as it always has been, that the choice of life, that choosing the narrow way, is choosing a life that is not easy, a life that is difficult. And we see the struggle of humanity presented to us in the pages of the Old Testament, in part to show us just how hard it is, and the fact that we always need to be having a mindset that we have to persevere. We have to keep this reality of daily choices ever before us and make the right choices, because they impact our eternity. And in fact, these little day-by-day choices are in reality choosing where we exist never endingly after this life is over, after Jesus comes again and pronounces judgment upon all humanity. Consider how we as spiritual Israel must choose our path. It's interesting, as you know, you reflect upon the words that Moses spoke to the children of Israel back in Deuteronomy 30. Beginning in verse 11, several verses down through verse 14, these very words the Apostle Paul applied to the gospel. He wrote in Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 6, he said, "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' that is, to bring Christ down from above. Or, 'Who will descend into the abyss?' that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart.' That is, the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, 'Whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame.'" Paul says, blessings will come to those who name the name of Christ. The word that brings salvation, it's not far away. Christ doesn't have to be summoned back from the dead. We have preached this clear message to you, and if you follow it, if you embrace it, if you believe it, you will be saved. God doesn't force anyone to follow his commands, even though he wants no one to be lost and he desires everyone to be saved, he leaves it up to us. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15, we see that point made. Moses says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. I've set it before you. I'm not forcing you. God is not forcing you. It's your choice. And here are the two paths you can choose. Life and good, death and evil." So obviously, the choice of life and good is the hard choice. Mentally, we see it's the obvious choice, and yet how difficult it is to live this life that calls upon us to forsake the way of the flesh, which calls upon us to live a certain way of self-gratification, and instead adhere our lives, follow this path that is about self-denial. It's about submission to a God that we have never seen with our eyes, live according to a teaching and a way that was given 2,000 years ago, who people in the world say is not applicable to mankind today. It's old. It's not keeping up with the times. But in fact, the reality is this is the one and only way that leads to life eternal. The good command is given in verse 16 back in Deuteronomy 30, and the same truth applies to Christians today, the same concept, in that he says, "I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess." What we're looking toward is a different kind of promised land. It's the one that awaits us on the other side. It's that heavenly land, the new heavens, the new earth. And in a very real sense, the daily decisions that we make pertaining to life and good are explained in a number of passages that we could examine in the New Testament. For example, if we look at the end of the book of Galatians, we find the Apostle Paul again showing two paths that we need to be aware of. One has to do with walking according to the flesh, and the other is walking according to the Spirit. Again, they all get back to that same fundamental truth: life and good, or death and evil. Beginning in verse 16 of Galatians 6, Paul says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident." So here he gives an example to Christians during that day of choices. And he's essentially saying, don't choose these. Choosing these is choosing death. See it for what it is, he's saying. "The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." This is similar to Moses going through and saying, if you choose these things, here are all these curses that are going to come upon you. Paul writes to Christians. He lists things that are applicable to them, things that they struggle with, things that have been pitfalls for them. And he says, realize, understand, brethren, he's saying, that if you practice, if you do these things, he says, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. Your choices, he's telling them, have consequences. You have to choose what is right. And therefore, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Here are qualities, he says, you must develop in your heart. You see, when we make the inner man what he should be, then the actions of life, the choices that we will make, will be right choices, proper choices. When we make sure that the Spirit within us has been cleansed and it has been made Christ-like, as the fruit of the Spirit most certainly will result in, then our choices made in the flesh will not be those that lead to death, but instead those that lead to eternal life. A man by the name of John Oxenham wrote a poem about choice. He said, to every man there openeth a way and ways and a way. And some men climb the highway, and some men grope below. And in between on the misty flats, the rest drift to and fro. And to every man there openeth a highway and a low. And every man decideth which way his soul shall go. The reality is very clear before us. Our choices every day that we make are very significant, and most certainly they have eternal consequences. That has been true from the very, very beginning when choices were made in the Garden of Eden, and that remains today. Tomorrow, you'll get up, it'll be a brand new day. That day will be filled with choices. Choices that are before us based upon our knowledge of God's will and the direction that He has given us through it. Those commandments, those precepts, those statutes that God has given under His new law through His Son Jesus Christ are before us. And we can choose them. But we can also choose to set them aside. We can choose a path that is easier, a path that is broad, a path that most people travel. But again, we must always remember the consequence of choice. What is your choice today? As one who may be here but not yet cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the choice to become a child of God is a choice that is necessary if we are going to have a future that includes blessings instead of cursings, life instead of death. Because the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, believing that He's God's Son, turning from the life of sin, acknowledging that faith and being baptized so that we can have forgiveness, have hope. Living with hope every day is maintained as long as we continue to make those right choices. Without a doubt, we sometimes stumble, because it's very clear as we reflect upon days and weeks and years in the past that we have made wrong choices. But we're here together tonight as God's people, striving to persist in righteousness as opposed to ungodliness. And so our path must be that path that is choosing the way of life. If you have forsaken that way as one of God's people tonight and your desire is to come home, your Lord awaits you. We'll certainly pray for you and help you as together we stand and sing.